Adam Pengilly, good morning.
Morning, Jared. Morning, boys.
Big story. So tell us about it. You've co-written it. Ray Thomas has written about it as well in the Telegraph today. So Tommy Berry facing charges, as well as some other jockeys as well. What is all this about, and what do you think will happen?
Yeah, if you remember correctly, Jared, we did mention this on the program a couple of months ago, that the stewards were in the advanced stages of an investigation involving Tommy Berry and a number of other jockeys. And it's taken a while to get to this point, but they've now laid charges against those jockeys. And we're waiting for a date for those inquiries to be heard. Actually, what the inquiries, or the investigations, I should say, started around were the links between jockeys and professional punters. Tommy Berry is being charged, obviously, with having a link with a professional punter based up there in Queensland and accepting either a cash or benefit in regards to some races. I've got to stress that Tommy's going to vehemently deny the allegations and fight those. He's allowed to continue riding in the interim period, so the stewards are comfortable for him to keep riding until that inquiry is heard at the very soonest possible stage. So that's the issue with Tommy Berry at the moment. The other jockeys are based down in Canberra. We're talking about Jordan Mallion, Jack Martin, Kayla Nisbet. Again, they're charged with having interest with a particular punter based down south called Jacob Hoffman. Again, a couple of those jockeys, including Jordan Mallion and Jack Martin, have been accused of having a bet in some thoroughbred races, which obviously is against the rules of racing. So we've got plenty to play out with this situation. A major inquiry and investigation which has been conducted by Racing New South Wales over the last few months. And yesterday was very, very significant news with those charges being laid.
What about Nugget missing out on the Ingham? Were you surprised, or do you think that he should have been given a run?
Oh, I'm not overly surprised, Loz. We saw the ballot order earlier in the week. He was always down below the field of 20 as it stood. He was going to need some luck with some horses not accepting. He still can get a run in the race on Saturday. He's going to need a couple of scratchings, to be fair. But it just looked like a lovely race for him, didn't it? Sort of lightly raced horse on the up, going through his grades. Ran went wild, perfect for him third up. But unfortunately, as it stands at the moment, he's not going to be in the race. So whether you agree with it or not, that's the system we've got in place at the moment for deciding which horse is getting into particular races. And it just isn't it great to see a big Randwick Mile again in the summer. The old Villiers now renamed the Ingham, and have a full field of runners. Having 20 runners is fantastic. So very much looking forward to the race, but unfortunately for Kieran Mara, David Eustace and the Australian Bloodstock boys, they're going to need some luck to get Nugget into the race on Saturday.
Now, the Hong Kong International Jockeys Challenge last night at Happy Valley, and there were dual winners.
Yeah, Sylvester D'Souza, Jared and Tom Marquand shared the honours. I only caught a few of the highlights this morning, and it is a bit of a random draw, isn't it, really, to decide who wins this concept, because the jockeys are allocated horses on a random basis across four different races. So we can claim Tom Marquand, can't we, Jared? We used to call him Mozzie Tom, didn't we, when he came down to Australia for a short riding stint a couple of years ago, and he's had a lot of success down here. So we can sort of claim him to some respects. But, Jamie Carr and Huey Bowman both had placings on the program there yesterday. Couldn't quite do enough to get across the line. So the honours going with the overseas British-based riders, and yet another great night at Happy Valley there by all reports last night.
Go, Mindo.
No, I was going to say, what's been the reaction to the prize money increases and also the schedule changes made by Racing Victoria?
Yeah, they've definitely forced their hand, hasn't it, Loz? Sorry, Jared, with a couple of massive increases in prize money. And no doubt the two big ones were the Australian Cup, with the prize money doubling from $500,000 to $3 million. The Blue Diamonds also got a pretty big lift up to $2 million. And obviously the Roy Higgins Qualies are now being one of those golden ticket races for the Melbourne Cup, so that's going to increase the amount of chances the local horses will get to get into the Melbourne Cup. But the one big change, I must admit, which I thought was a great change, is they've moved the Australian Cup to a week after the All-Star Mile. And in the past, we've had a 2,000-metre race, the Australian Cup, before the All-Star Mile, and it just didn't quite make sense. So I think that little tinker or change to the program down there in Victoria is going to help. So obviously we've had some massive, massive prize money increases in New South Wales over the last sort of 12 to 18 months. Victoria probably think they can't sit there and on their hands any longer and decide to pump some more money into some of those big autumn races. And I suppose the big winners, boys, are the participants.
Different sport. What did you make of David Warner, his decision to withdraw an application over his lifetime leadership ban? Now, we've discussed it this morning, and there's a lot of different views on our text line and with our listeners. Where do you stand on it all, Adam? And do you think Cricket Australia gave them the right penalty, wrong penalty? Should they be allowed to captain? What's your thoughts?
Oh, firstly, Loz, it's just dragged on for far too long, hasn't it, really? Like, you know, what are we, 4 years? More than 4 years after the fact, and we're still going through these issues. They should have been dealt with a long time ago. Whether you agree with David Warner having a chance to captain a team or a big bash franchise again or not, it's been done at least, I would say, 2 years ago. So I can understand where David's coming from and how it's dragged on for so long and why he's so frustrated and doesn't want to, I suppose, put his family through this process again. And that was quite an emotive statement last night, wasn't it? Like, that was a real line in the sand for him saying, I've had enough of this. I'm not going to keep going with this. I think you've taken far too long to get to this point. And he's made his stance. But as has been mentioned, I think, by a couple of people on the text line this morning, and you guys are talking about it, we still don't know the full story, do we, with what happened in South Africa? Like, no one knows exactly the extent of who knew what, for how long it was going on. And I think the Australian public, to a large extent, find it hard to move on. We don't know the full story.
Yeah.
So I can understand why a lot of people think that David Warner shouldn't captain again, because we just don't know the full truth, Clarkie. That's the fact of the matter.
I think you're spot on, mate. I actually think that is the most concerning thing out of this. Everyone's got questions around the footage they saw on the big screen, around, you know, Darren Lehman on the walkie-talkie, Peter Hanscom on the walkie-talkie, the conversation around how do the bowlers not know what's happening with the ball that's in their hand every day. Even further to, well, they all sit in a change room that's, you know, it's not three levels. It's a small cricket change room.
Yeah.
You can't keep a secret in Australia. How can you keep a secret in a cricket change room? So, look, I'm silly for opening my mouth even on this show about this, because it's rehashing stuff that has scarred me extremely deeply. And I know everyone that loves the game, that when this is spoken about, it just puts leaves a bad taste in your mouth. But Adam, you're 100% right. There's question marks everywhere.
Just a quick question, Clarkie, before you go. Do you think this is going to push David Warner more towards being a T20 gun for hire and just walk away from Australian cricket from now on?
I don't think it matters, mate. Like, that's the other thing as well. Davey's at an age now where he, honestly, if all goes to plan, he's 12 months away from retiring. That's if all goes to plan. So, you know, I'd love to see him get to the Ashes, have an awesome series, win the Ashes and retire on his own accord. That would be a dream come true. But and Davey's style of play, he will be able to walk away from Test cricket and go play 3 or 4 years of the 2020 junket and fill his boots cash-wise. I think he'd be silly not to do that. But, this is shown. Look, I think Davey and Cricket Australia have had a, what's the right word?
Volatile?
Well, let's call it a mixed relationship from the start of his career, and it will be till the end of his career. And Davey will get his chance. Don't worry. That book that was, you know, he was going to do for $1 million, he might just get $5 million for it now. Don't worry about that.
It is going to be the biggest must-read book.
Yeah, and I can tell you now, James Erskine, his manager, he'll know exactly where to go to get that money as well, let me tell you.
Just before you go, Adam, you're getting some love on the text line for your tip yesterday. So, high blue sea, wasn't it, in the last at the farm? So, mate, take the wins when you get them, mate.
Take them.
I'll take it. I'll take it, boys. And we'll try and cut tomorrow and find something at Ramic on Saturday.
Sounds good. Thank you, mate.
See you, boys.